Please stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. We're going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, as we continue a series of messages encouraging the family. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reveling for reveling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for your precious word. And Lord, as a church family, Lord, may we take heed to your word. And Lord, to have a love about us with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, that the world will know that we are your disciples. Lord, not only that, but may we in our homes, Lord, have a love for one another. Lord, as we daily live with each other, Lord, may we have a love in such a way that the world will know that we are different, that we are separated, we are called out unto your own, that we can be witnesses, Lord, to a lost and dying world. Lord, may you receive all glory, Lord, as we live for you and as we worship you. Please speak through me. I'm nothing without you, Lord God. Again, for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Encouraging the family, we're looking this morning at a Christian marriage. If you would read 1 Peter chapter 3, it speaks specifically to Christian wives and to Christian husbands, how the wives are to submit to their Christian husband, and also the Christian husband should be humble to their wife and serve their wife, that their prayers will not be hindered. And now we get to this passage about how we as a church family, and also how it applies to our homes, how we are to love and serve one another. Encouraging the family and looking at Christian marriages. You know, actions and reactions in Christian marriages are in many cases opposite from what the world will tell you how to act, or what the world will tell you what to do in certain cases. See, we are separated. We are being sanctified, called out unto God's own. And that also applies to how we are in our homes, not just at church. Amen? So, called out, and we are to act and react different than what the world acts and reacts to situations. One lady went to a doctor and was having a hard time sleeping, and the doctor started asking her questions about her sleep habits. And one question he asked her was, "Well, ma'am, do you wake up grumpy?" She said, "No, sir, I leave him alone. I let him sleep." I let him sleep. So, you know, we are to be different in our homes. Now, listen, when you live with somebody, you know, we are individuals, okay? And it's going to be fun times, it's going to be some bad times, and then there's the makeup times, amen? So when you live with someone, there's going to be times where it's trying, and yet that's when we need an extra portion of the Holy Spirit of God and self-control and help from Him to live and to be committed to one another. So Christian marriages, being different from the world. It says in this passage of Scripture, in verse 8, it says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind." Now here in the church, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to have the mind of Christ. Also in the home, we are to have the mind of Christ. You know, that's our common bond here at the church. That's our common bond in Christian marriages, is having the mind of Christ. Now, the mind is part of our soul, and you know, it's our goals, it's our emotions, and we are to have the same mind in marriages. Now, the same mind can apply to husbands and wives in that you need to huddle up. You know, in football, it's football season. That team huddles up and makes plans and say, you know, trap 33. In other words, they know what to do. The running back goes this way and they block as a trap. And in other words, they huddle up and make plans. So as husbands and wives, we are to huddle up, be of the same mind, and set goals and have dreams together. You see, being on the same page as a husband and wife. You know, when a husband has his own goals and plans and the wife has her goals and plans and they don't match up, that causes contradictions and frictions in marriages. Amen? So to huddle up, be of one mind, have the mind of Christ. His mind was being humble as unto death. He took the cross and became a servant. Now, as in homes, we are to be humble and serve one another and have the same goals, be of same mind. Also, it says in this passage, having compassion for one another. Compassion. Caring for one another. You know, Alicia's touch. I have made fun of her. You know, I can have a broke leg and she'll tell me, "Well, you've never had a baby." Okay? Where's the compassion in that? I don't know. But listen, when I'm hurting and that dear lady, my wife, touches me, okay, and loves on me and cares for me when I'm hurting, I need that. It goes back to my childhood. When I skinned my knee, when my mama touched my knee, I felt better automatically. When my wife has compassion towards me, I feel better. When I have compassion towards her when she's hurting, she feels better. You see, compassion for one another. Also, that mama's touch to our children is so important. So having compassion for one another. Also, it says here in verse 8, love as brothers. Love as brothers. Now in the church, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are of the family of God. We have been born again, born in this family, born of the Spirit of God, and we are His children. And we are to emulate our Father and be as His dear children. So brotherly love. Love as brothers and sisters. Now in a marriage, your wife is also your sister in Christ. In a Christian marriage, your husband is also your brother in Christ. Imagine with me a triangle. Okay? The center of that triangle is love. And in a marriage, we need to have eros type of love. The Greek word is eros, and that's passion. It's good to have passion in your marriage. Amen? We also need that filial love, which is that brotherly love, or is intimacy love. And then on the bottom of that triangle is agape love. That's commitment. Agape love, godly love, is commitment to one another. And we need all three in a marriage. All three. Can commitment keep you together? Yes. But you need those other two loves. If you don't have the other two, you don't have a healthy marriage. If you only have two of those loves, you don't have a happy marriage. You need all three. So brotherly love, that's your sister or your brother in Christ. That's that commitment love. Here in the church, we are committed to one another. You're my church family. Now, it's so easy to just walk out the door, go some other place, or if you don't like what's being preached or taught or don't like what we're doing, it's so easy to just walk out the door nowadays. Why? Because there's no commitment in the home and there's no commitment at church. We need that brotherly and sisterly love in our marriages and in the church. Commitment. Love as brothers and sisters in Christ. And it also says to be tender-hearted. To be in such a way that you feel what the other one is feeling. Now, it takes work for men to do that. Okay? Women naturally feel. Men, we got to work at it. You need to feel how your wife feels. You need to feel as your husband feels. When they're hurting, you got to hurt with them. You see, when my wife's mother passed away, she was hurting. Still hurts over it. And I was as if my mother had passed away. Now, I speak of our marriage a lot because that's what I experience, okay? And I'm not the best marriage here, but we're all learning. But I do know this, when her mother passed away, it was as if my mother did. When my brother passed away last November, it was as if her brother had passed away. That's being tender-hearted, feeling what the other one is feeling. Sometimes it takes work. You got to place yourself in their shoes and try to walk a little bit in their shoes to feel how they are feeling. So being tender-hearted. Also, it says in our passage, be courteous. Or be humble to one another. Be polite to one another. I love Vestal Goodman. I love to hear her sing. And one thing she always said about being married to Howard, they're both be with the Lord. And they, if you don't know Vestal Goodman, she was a Southern gospel singer. The best in my book. And she said, yeah, we've been married all these years, and she was asked, well, did you ever disagree? She said, Lord, we fought. If you're going to live together, you're going to fight, but the making up is also just stick it out. You'll make up. Don't leave. Stay together, and I promise you, you will make up, is what Vestal Goodman said. So, being courteous and being humble and yes, you're going to fight. You may not know this, but your pastor, I like a good fight every now and then. You know who I love to fight with the most? Alicia. Oh, I love to fight with her. Sometimes I'll pick a good fight with her. I do. She picks fights with me too. But it's that making up, and I love to pick on her. That's what I mean by fighting with her. Okay? Yes, you're going to fight, but be humble and be polite to one another. Let it be a lifestyle is what I'm getting at. A lifestyle of being courteous to one another. You see, many times, if you have a career and you're out in public life like a teacher or a pastor or whatever you may do, military, you know, you have that authority in the military and you got to do what you're told and be courteous. Listen to me, this is important. Don't use up all your politeness and humility and being courteous. Don't use it all up during the day and come home and act like a fool when you come home. Sometimes we can use it up. Don't use it up. Be humble and be courteous even at home. We need help to do that, don't we? We need help to do that. And in the book, Two Becoming One, Don and Sally Meredith has a diagram. Show that first diagram. Here's the insult cycle. Okay? See, your mate insults you. The world and our human nature, you retaliate with an insult. That's our human nature. And then when that insult comes and you insult back, what happens? It escalates. Escalates. I'll give you an example. I walk in the door this week. I'm met with an awful smell. What it was, the clothes sired just during the day in the wash machine. And I say this, what in the world? Oh, it's the clothes. How long have they been in there? See, I was ready to fix something. I wanted to fix the problem. It was stinking. Let's do it. Okay? And I asked the question, how long were they in there? Now, my wife is not perfect, okay? She says, why do you ask? You don't think I do the clothes? Okay? And then it could escalate from there, okay? What it was, that Rebecca wiped up some spilt milk, and that towel was in the wash machine, and it was soured milk what I was smelling, okay? So things, little things like that can escalate. If you've been there, done that, say amen. Okay. Here's the other cycle. Put that on there. Here's the blessing cycle. This is what we're getting at here. This applies to our passage of Scripture. Now, your mate insults you. Now, whether he meant it or not, or he was picking or wanting to fight with you, or vice versa, it happens. Now, what do? When you're insulted, by faith you return a blessing. Okay? We need God's help to do this. Amen? When you're insulted, return a blessing. Now, sometimes that blessing is keep your mouth shut. Okay? And keep serving or whatever. Okay? We need God's help to do that. Amen? Because this is the opposite of the world and the opposite of our flesh. Our flesh wants to retaliate. So we need God's help. You return with a blessing. Now, that blessing is not with being a smart aleck. I'm returning you a blessing. Don't do that. That makes it worse. I know. I know it makes it worse. Trust me on that. So return with a blessing and the mate becomes convicted. Remember, we're talking about a Christian marriage. Your mate becomes convicted. And you give more blessing. And what happens in this cycle when you're not reveling for reveling or evil for evil, but you return a blessing, the marriage becomes blessed. There'll be more blessings. Okay? We need God's help to live this way. Amen? You can't do that on your own. So a blessing recycle. And in verse 9 it says, not returning evil for evil or reveling for reveling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. You want your marriage blessed? Then you be a blessing to your mate. If you want your marriage blessed, then you be a blessing. If you want your church family to be blessed, then you be a blessing in it. You be a blessing. And rely on the Holy Spirit of God to enable you to be a blessing. This is a foundational lifestyle for a healthy marriage. It's foundational to be a blessing instead of reveling for reveling. Now, Scripture never tells us to control our feelings. You know what Scripture tells us to control? When it speaks of self-control and this list of being one mind and being compassionate and love and tender-hearted and courteous, what is that telling us? It is telling us to change our mind and our actions. And when you change your mind and your actions, then you will change. And to do so, we need God's help. Okay? Whether you feel like it or not, do it. You catch that? Whether you feel like it, we are people of faith. We live by faith, not by our feelings. Sometimes I don't feel like doing anything. But by faith I can do it. We're people of faith. So whether you feel like it or not, do it. Change your actions. Change your thoughts. Change with God's help. Change your behavior. It's called behavioral change. Whether you feel like being a blessing or not, do it. Do it. Whether you feel like coming to church or not, do it. Whether you feel like worshiping or not, do it. Change your behavior. You ever heard of the love bank? The love bank. In the love bank, we have withdrawals and we have deposits. Now, consider your marriage a love bank. Consider your relationship. Think about this. Your relationship with your spouse. And you have a love bank. Well, we know what banks do. You deposit money. You withdraw money from banks. You save money or you owe them money in a bank. Okay? They probably do a lot more than that, but on my little thinking, that's what banks do. Okay? So in a love bank, you can deposit things in your love bank with your spouse and have a savings account of love with your spouse, or you can withdraw from that love bank, and then you can wind up, if you're not careful, be in debt in that love bank. Now, what could be some withdrawals in a love bank? How about remarks that shouldn't be said? How about being selfish? In the latter days, men will be lovers of themselves. That's mankind, by the way. In other words, being very selfish. All you can see is this far in front of you, and you want a mirror there because all you care about is yourself. It's being selfish. And when you live selfishly, You withdraw from the love bank. Something major could be like an affair. An affair could be over 1,000 withdrawals in the love bank in debt. How about deposits? You can only put in up to 4 deposits a day. So if you have something major that has happened, whether it's an emotional affair or a physical affair, you have all those withdrawals and you can only put 4 deposits in a day. So it takes time and it takes changing your actions, and you do it whether you feel like it or not every day. 4 deposits a day. What can be deposits? Acts of kindness. Being affectionate. Being polite, courteous. Doing things to show your love. Doing things. Changing your actions to show your love. So the love bank. Stop making withdrawals in the love bank. And start making deposits in your love banks. Because the Scripture says, verse 10, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Do you want to have good days? You want to have a good marriage and a happy life, a good life? Verse 11, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, goes back to that love and commitment. If you don't have all 3 of those loves, you don't have a healthy, happy marriage. You may be overdrawn in the love bank and be married for years. You don't have a godly, healthy marriage. See, you got to have it all. All the love. You got to be making deposits in your relationship of love. It takes commitment. You need God's help. You got to. If you put Christ in it, it'll work. If you do not have Christ in your heart and life, then you have no idea actually what I'm talking about this morning. You don't. If you've never experienced grace that Brother Robert shared in our doctrinal study, if you've never experienced and lived the grace of God and followed His grace daily, but you're selfish and you're self-righteous. You have no idea what grace is, and you cannot extend grace to another. You're hard. Your heart is hardened. You're legalistic. Selfish. In the latter days, men will be lovers of themselves, polishing themselves and talking about themselves. You need Jesus. You need Jesus in your life and Jesus in your marriage. If you don't have Jesus, you ain't got nothing. Nothing. You may have the biggest house or the most money in the bank and all the toys. If you do not have Jesus, you do not have nothing. Don't be selfish. Don't be selfish. Don't be a lover of self. Be a lover of God and others. Jesus said, if you'll do that, the whole world will know you're my disciple. Won't you make a commitment today? Won't you give your heart and life today and quit being selfish and self-righteous? Religions won't save you, but a relationship with Jesus will. That's what it says. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing else will do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You took the wages of sin. You took the death penalty so that we can be made righteous before you, holy God. Oh God, I pray for our church family, Lord, that we will be examples to this world, examples of loving each other in our homes and in our church. God, help us not to copy the world, but Lord, help us to influence this community for you by the way we live. We need help, Lord, to do it. Oh, how we need help. Lord, some need salvation this morning. They need your grace and mercy. May they fall on it today and not be a lover of self anymore. And may you receive all glory for all eternity. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.